darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping.
I'd say let it breathe, but I don't really want to let this song breathe. I just can't believe we're playing this song again. It was so selfish on Friday. It's so self-serving when we were pleading, let us do a different show on Monday. Let us have a different show. I've been doing this show for 11 years. I'm not going to go off the handle. I did that last year. I did it the year before. The year before that.
We got to keep our composure.
The year before that.
We're going to have smart discussions.
Smart discussions.
That's
today.
The motto for this year. We're not going to freak out. We're not going to throw papers. We're not going to swear at people. We're not going to play the blame game. We are going to have constructive, smart discussions.
Well,
let's get into it before we can make that
exactly
guarantee.
Because there should, you know, there's vitriol, there's disappointment, there's blame game, there's all of that. That's what happens when, you know, you have the record.
Yeah, you fail again.
Fail again, like regardless of how it happens and against a formidable opponent.
You lose again.
And I said it, I'll just say what I said on SportsCenter the other night. Things were different this year. The key players of the team, they contributed. Jack Campbell wasn't a blow-up doll in the net. He wasn't terrible. All the star players showed up. They were contributing. John Tavares and William Nylander started a little bit slow. They turned it around. All of that stuff that needed to happen happened during the series. But the only thing that mattered in Game 7 was the scoreboard. That's all that mattered, and it was still the same. It's a loss.
Not good enough. Yeah, I don't know who's defining this it's not as bad as it was in the past metric. This idea that it was better this time.
It was. It had a different look. It had a different look to it.
It smelled different, but it's still the same result.
It's still the exact same result. It's the exact same result. They lost again. They lost. And what has been established here, this is what happened over the last 2 weeks and what happened on Saturday night. The team that knows how to win won. The team that knows how to lose lost.
Yes.
The Maple Leafs are a dynasty of losing. That's what they are now. That's what they established on Saturday night. No team has a longer drought for winning a Stanley Cup than the Maple Leafs. No team has a longer drought for winning a round. A round, because Florida won over the weekend. The Leafs hold that. No team in the history of the NHL, Major League Baseball, or NBA have lost 5 years in a row in a Game 7. It is unprecedented.
That's crazy.
Unprecedented measures. They are a dynasty of losing. That's what they are right now. And I don't know how you can sugarcoat it. I can't get to a point where I sit there and say, it felt different. It didn't to me, because they're not playing tomorrow night.
Right.
Just like last year, just like the year before that, and the year before that. Like, it just, the fact of the matter is, this opportunity for them to prove a difference, you know when it really started? In between the second and third of Game 6. That's when the series started for both teams. And instead of them coming out in the third period of Game 6.
Ending it.
And ending it. Not surviving and getting to overtime and trying to get a bounce. Ending it. If they were truly driven for a difference this year, they win that game 6-2. They don't lose 4-3 in overtime. They come out in the third and say, I don't care if the refs call high sticking. I don't care if Kucherov's dancing. I don't care if Point's ready to be a hero in overtime. We're not going to let you have that opportunity.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do it in game 6. They couldn't do it in overtime. And on Saturday night, it wasn't a bad game.
No.
Either way, it wasn't a poor performance.
It wasn't. There was effort. There was everything.
But it was a
there,
loss.
Hayes. And it's just, to try to put your finger on it, it's got to be something inside. To have three, I'll just go to the last 2 years. Three cracks at the Montreal Canadiens. Three of them. And then two again this year, and it's still feathers. It's just crazy to fathom that.
Yeah.
So how to put your finger on it. And as I mentioned off the top, the key guys that during the playoff preview show, everybody said those guys have to stand up. Jack Campbell has to be solid. You got to get contributions from Tavares, Nylander, Matthews, Marner. Those guys were big talking points. It's like they had to show up and produce, and they did. But at the end of the day, it's still the same thing.
And that's the sad truth. Like, it's not, you look at the team on paper, you're like, that's a good team, really good team. They had a great regular season.
Yep.
They don't have dysfunction. They're not an unlikable team in terms of guys doing stupid things or being losers.
Bar fights. Yeah, you name it. Yeah.
Really, like, they've got a culture. They've got an organization that you can be proud of if you're a Leaf fan. It's just when it gets to the big moments to close, they can't close.
And in the same building that Kevin Durant injured himself and everybody gasped and said, oh my God, they're going to do it, including myself, Tampa's best player blows his leg out, and I'm thinking, okay, there is no way they're going to lose this hockey game right now.
Right.
Because they loaded up Cirelli with Stamkos and Kucherov, and I'm like, someone's just got to take care of that line, and then steamroll the rest if you can. But it's, I don't know. You talked about the winning mentality of the Tampa Bay Lightning. They said to themselves, and I'm sure after a point went down, we have to try to just lock this thing down and rely on Vasilevsky and try to win the hockey game. And they weren't accepting anything less than that.
But that's,
and that was kind of the difference. It was like, do win at any cost, and you just didn't
that's
really.
A team that knows how to win one, and a team John that knows Wick how to up. Lose lost.
And John Wick in net was good.
Vasilevsky showed up. He showed up to start the third in Game 6.
Yeah.
The beginning of the third period in Game 6, he gave up one goal the rest of the series.
Yeah.
Campbell gave up four.
Yeah,
I mean, and listen, Campbell wasn't the issue. Campbell was not the problem. You know, it's not. Again,
he did what we always say about Maple Leaf goaltending this year. You don't have to be Vasilevsky. You just have to give them
a chance. Give a chance.
And he did that. There's nothing on him.
The thing, there's layers to everything. I mean, I'm just sitting here listening. Hayes, you said this last week, and this is what's resonated. There were people that were poised to go legend. Okay? So, whether it was Austin Matthews, who's been a legend all year, you know, Hart and Rocket and all of that stuff. If Game 7, he's like, not doing it. Like, this is on me. I'm going to. And he didn't play bad. Not whatsoever. Like,
didn't have his greatest game, but was not, did not, not have a poor effort at all.
But the thing is, so there's another layer. Your superstars, they matched each other. You know, Point gets injured. You know, Stamkos, Kucherov, he looked off the whole series, but I think he was. It's been reported he's been sick or something, like battling something. But I thought the Point injury was, you know, kind of like the Durant injury. And I was glad I wasn't in the building, but I didn't hear cheering like I saw, you know, heard with the Raptors fans cheering. But it was more, I thought that was a turning point for the league. In my mind, I was like, oh my God, like that's a pivotal point. You take advantage of somebody, you know, a weakness where Tampa was weaker.
Absolutely.
Right there. A superstar gets injured. And you know, my heart goes out to Braden Point. But I was like, that's an opportunity to pounce. And then it was next man up for Tampa. And Nick Paul, all of a sudden, is flying around out there. Deadline acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's so now, another thing of the disappointment, Jamie. It's like, why is Nick Paul rise above the ashes and he's the star of the game and it's not somebody else? Like, why isn't that...
These are the things that just boggle your mind. I mean, honestly, it's statistically, it seems borderline impossible that they could go through the last 5 years in particular, right? The first year against Washington was a complete throwout because you were just ecstatic to be there.
They made the playoffs. They're all young kids.
Made it last weekend of the year. Was, you know, you had the kids here. You had Babcock here. Yeah. You pushed them to six. You won a couple of games in overtime. That was a moral victory, just getting there and them getting a taste.
And good experience.
And very good experience. And I would argue the next year, the loss against Boston, even though they had a lead going into the third period of Game 7 that year, more than willing to grant that to them. I'm talking Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Riley, et cetera.
Yeah.
That it was, okay, you're up against a cup-caliber, great team in Boston, on the road, your first Game 7. That one's tough. Chalk it up to a learning experience. Yeah. Basically, from that date onward is the 4 years that you can't really sugarcoat, because Tavares has been here for all of them. Yeah. Didn't play against Montreal, obviously, but was there for the second Boston series, there for Columbus, was there this year. So you're talking about four playoff runs with the big four up front, Morgan Riley on the back end,
right,
and the last three from Columbus to Montreal to Tampa with Sheldon Keefe behind the bench, you know, Jake Muzzin here, TJ Brody's been here the last couple of years. Like, you're talking a lot of sample size here.
Right.
A lot of opportunity to try to prove you're different or change the killer instinct or just close.
Right.
You know, whatever definition you want to use. And it just, it hasn't happened. And I don't know how they possibly explain it.
Like if it was Detroit, Detroit Larkin and somebody else would have caught on fire. It's just, it just doesn't seem like it mattered who the opponent was. They would find a way to get it done. That's the feeling right now because of recency bias. It's like Columbus and then Montreal with the dramatic comeback. It's like what the hell else could possibly happen? What other ways could you not?
But that's what's scary is that who knows where they are a year from now. Like the biggest frustration of having to roll this over, and I don't know what they're going to do between now and game one next season.
Lots of work.
Lots of work, and we'll get to that momentarily in terms of what might happen or what could happen. But you got to start from scratch to make the playoffs, and then you got to try to roll it over and do it again.
Well, that's
like who and this idea that while they got screwed by the bracket, well, you think Tampa and Florida and Boston are going to roll over next year? You're facing one of those teams again next year if you make it in.
Damn right there.
This you might have the exact same series. It could be Tampa next year.
Yeah,
there's a very good chance that'll be the case.
And if they get beat by Florida, they'll be super horny to win again next year.
Absolutely, they will.
You're right. There's so many layers to this on so many levels, and you know the stat lines. You just pointed out, like Columbus, was that game five? They got shut out in that game.
They did.
They got shut out against Columbus. Shut them out.
Yep.
Carey Price, yes. Get it. And that, like
the year before, Boston shut them out in game seven.
Like, that's the thing that is a little bit glaring. These game sevens, statistically, you know how tight they're going to be. You know how they say, Daryl Sutter says it all the time. It's like, you got to win 2-1 in the playoffs. That was a 2-1 game the other night. Tampa found a way to win. And the Leafs couldn't get the extra, the tying goal. Yes, there was one that was called back. And, we can talk until we're blue in the face. I don't lay it all at the refs. I think
There were mistakes made. And,
but yes. I can't sit there and go, you know what? The Leafs got screwed by the refs, and that was nothing else. To me, if I'm sitting here today talking about, Matthews getting two and two assists and Marner and, Tavares chipping in or the power play, which has
been... Power play's been abysmal in the biggest
games. It was
games.
Number one in the league this year.
Yep.
And then goes, 0 for 18 in the last 18 opportunities. Critical moments that can change the fortunes. And it seems like they've been on the wrong side of it, unfortunately, time and time again.
Well, and we were discussing this prior to coming on the air, that it does seem a little bit strange that they're waiting to do their locker clean out until tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because as my understanding, I know Boston was speaking today. Boston lost. Their season was done 3 hours before the Leafs, and they had to fly home.
Yeah.
And they're doing their clean out today. I would assume the Kings are probably doing their clean out today. The fact that they're waiting until Tuesday, I don't know what the reasoning for that is, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was either ownership or Shanahan saying, we need an extra day to evaluate how we're going to handle this, what we might do, and try to figure out what kind of approach we're going to have. Because last year, it didn't take them too long to come out and basically immediately say, we're running it back.
Yeah.
And yes, they've adjusted some things on the fly. Freddie left, which felt inevitable at that point. He didn't even play a playoff game last year. Right. So he was basically already gone anyway.
It was Jack's net anyway.
It was Campbell's net anyway. They signed guys like Richie and Bunting. And that's going to happen this year. Guys are going to come and go on the periphery. That's what happens every single year, regardless if you're the best team in the league or the worst team in the league. But they quickly came out and said, we're running it back. I'm very curious to hear what Shanahan and Dubas have to say tomorrow.
I agree.
Not as much about the explanation, because I don't think they can explain it. They couldn't explain it last year. They couldn't explain it the year before. I don't know what else you say anymore other than you get to the dance and you can't dance. Yeah, you can't close. Like, it's not – there's no GOAT, lowercase g. There's no –
they quit that, or like,
yeah, like there's yeah, you can look at game four, which was an awful performance.
Yeah,
but that's it. You know what I mean? Tampa had awful performances. In game one, they were awful. You can't look at any one in particular and say, I can't believe this person led to that.
Right.
But it just seems a little bit fishy. They're waiting an extra day. I wonder what's coming between now and tomorrow.
I think it's you take the extra day to make sure that you get organized on what type of messaging you would like to have.
For the future,
right? Because not for the past.
Whatever happened in the past is the past. What are you doing now?
Because there are going to be questions asked as to where the path. where you want to go. You know, you could say, well, we're running it back. Well, you know, I said today on the lunch, the definition of insanity is it. And Julia,
and you could have made that argument last year.
I know. Julia called me out on it. She goes, that's not the definition. Well, it's Einstein's definition, apparently.
So that counts.
It does count. But I mean, more because I'm older, I think people understand that saying.
Right.
But the definition of insanity is expecting a different result. That's the difference. So I don't believe, I think there is changes coming. I'm not convinced what they are yet. That's the people that are getting paid a lot more than us to decide.
And that's where you wonder, like the ownership structure here is very different because it's two massive companies in Bell and Rogers. And
very complex.
Very much so. And then Tannenbaum, who, you know, is the face of ownership but doesn't have the power of ownership.
Right.
Because everything's got to go through the other two companies. But, you know, it has been pointed out by a few different people, like, you're coming out of a pandemic where everyone lost a lot of money. And that's another thing. You're finally getting the buildings full, and you couldn't punch a ticket to fill that building up at least another two more times.
Right.
In the next round, which is a lot of money. And ultimately, it's a business.
Yep.
You're also dealing with, I think, a fan base that this year had a very different approach to the team than maybe any other year in my life. In terms of apathy, which gets thrown around a lot of times, and I'm not sure how much people actually, you know, are tuned out. But last year was crushing. Like, blowing a 3-1 lead to that team in particular. Yeah. 3-1 lead to Montreal was crushing for Maple Leaf fans. Like, it was the bottom of the barrel of embarrassment.
Yes.
Bottom of the barrel. And I think a lot of Leaf fans said, I can't get back into it till you prove to me you're different.
Show me.
And then this happens again. So there has to be a jolt up top saying, what about the business structure? Like, I forget the building of the roster.
Right.
What are we dealing with in terms of a brand that hasn't supplied a fan base with a victory in the playoffs in 18 years? Has supplied heartbreak after heartbreak year after year. If the message is we're just bringing the same thing back, what's the reaction? How do fans react?
From the actual fans.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, how do fans react? I don't know.
I went to Wonderland on Saturday with the kids. It was game seven, and like I had some nervous energy. Like, I, you know, we're all fans and we're sitting there. I'm not lying, and I come back to this. I feel like this whole market felt like that, too. I don't know how you guys felt that day. There was just a little bit of energy and thinking, okay, they do it tonight. Hey, like, things just look different tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I still think there were people in the back of their mind going, they've disappointed before. I'm waiting for it to happen again.
Because absolutely. I think the majority.
I'm not lying. I was waiting in line to get through. There had to have been thousands of people. Like, I just see heads. And there wasn't as many Leaf jerseys and hats as I expected. I said to Steph, like, that was weird for me because usually it was a beautiful day. Like, I'm waiting for flags and jerseys. Like, and it was like, I think people were like, I'm still apprehensive.
Honestly,
and I don't know if people felt that way.
Oh, I think you're onto something.
But I got that feeling.
The bigger disappointment was losing game six.
Right.
Because game seven almost felt like, I think I know what's
been
coming.
There.
Yeah.
I know this movie. I've seen it before.
Right.
But that's the big question going forward. To sit tomorrow, when are they doing their thing tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow morning they're all going
to
be.
Like, to sit and say, last year it was, we like our players, we're bringing them back. I don't know if you can say you dislike the players. Like, I don't know how many times this needs to happen. But every time I think that, I see somebody tweet out the disappointments. And this team is a case study, which... you don't know if it could ever be repeated. Disappointment, disappointment. 10 years in a row, the Washington Capitals. Because they say, this is how many disappointments Ovi had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Second round losses, first round losses. And it goes on, and you're thinking, did they deserve that opportunity? Like, did they deserve Ovi's opportunity to stick with the same group? I don't know. I don't know what the life expectancy on a group of hockey players in where the disappointments can stop. Well, do you say, here's the Ovi opportunity? I don't know.
Well,
I don't think it's likely that another team could go disappointment, disappointment for 10 years and all of a sudden break through and win the cup.
Okay, so let's just remove emotion and talk logically what you just said. That's why I think change is coming. I don't know what that means. I'm not trying to say trade this guy or whatever, but I just believe if you've rolled it back and it hasn't worked again, you can't just go, Well, we're going to try it again. Like, I think there's got to be optics here involved, too, as well. Now, you can't discount the season that was had in the regular season. Brilliant. Matthews, you know, broke through. We all know what he is. Marner, you know, Nylander had a career high. There was, I think, 10 to 12 guys that had career highs this season. The scary part is, you know, we all thought at the start of this season that Winnipeg looked really good. And they just had a disaster of things happen.
They had the best Canadian team.
A disaster of things happen. There's no guarantee that next year everyone has their best year. There's no guarantee that there isn't an injury or inconsistency or something that doesn't hamper you from getting to where you need to be. This was an opportunity. Yes, it was against Tampa. And I like we got to give Tampa a lot of credit.
Tampa's a great team.
And they know how to win.
And we knew they were a great team. Like that's not a surprise. And we'll play the Keith comment in the next segment. We'll get into that. But I agree with you, Noodles. I was having a conversation today about, I think what Shanahan has to be thinking right now is you cannot allow that room to feel comfortable with what they have gone through here.
Right.
In other words, if you just give them a free pass to come back and keep patting them on the back and saying, you guys are great and we believe in you, I think what you're risking is too much comfort. And, you know, they say good is the enemy of great. I think comfort in sports is the enemy of success sometimes.
Dude, these guys don't want to be uncomfortable. You think these kids these days that are making $11 million, they want to be what? Uncomfortable?
But what's that doing for you?
I don't know.
It's doing nothing. So change it. So,
but if you do that and you say, oh, what are you going to do? Try to make them uncomfortable this summer? You know what these guys do nowadays? I want to go play somewhere else. I don't even know what you're talking about as far as being uncomfortable. What do you mean?
Let me give you an example, because this was the example brought up to me, and it's a good one. The Raptors were a team that for years were a good team, very good team, playoff team. They won rounds, unlike the Leafs. And Masai said, this isn't enough, and I got to throw a couple grenades into that room. And he never allowed them to feel anything but a little bit uncomfortable with what could be coming next. First thing he did was he fired the coach, Dwayne Casey, who all the players loved. Coach of the year. Gone. Not acceptable. Nurse is coming in. Then DeRozan got traded. And
after
Kawhi came in.
After he told him that he wasn't going to
trade him. And who was the longest standing guy who was comfortable? Kyle, guess what? You're not comfortable anymore. Your best friend's in San Antonio. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Nothing. You can yell and scream, but guess what? You better show up and play. Then the trade deadline. They're well on their way to 60 wins. Valanciunas, you're out. CJ Miles, you're out. Don't get comfortable. Here comes Marc Gasol. Guess what? They won. And that's what I'm saying here, is like something has to happen to make these guys realize that this isn't comforting what you're going through here.
It's, like, not, you all hunky, it's not all hunky-dory. You're not going to be the same and come back, blah, blah, blah.
And it's not a personal. And this is the way I whittle it down, just doing the math. Matthews and Marner, to use the Washington example, that's your Ovechkin and Backstrom. They're not going anywhere. Nor should they. Those are your two guys. You've drafted them. You've developed them. They're superstars.
Right.
You know, they've got to wear this just like everyone else, if not more, because they are the faces of your team and the highest paid guys. But those guys aren't going anywhere. You just signed Morgan Rielly. You're committed to him.
Yeah.
You're not going to renege on that. You just gave him the deal. He's coming back. So the way I see it is Keith, Tavares, Nylander. Those are your other big three that jolt the room. Yeah. That jolt what you look like or sound like. And I'm not here to tell you which one it is, which one it has to be, or that it's a personal attack on those three guys.
Right.
It's not. But it would send a message that something's drastically different.
Right.
It's either, like, because if you trade, who else are you going to trade that's going to make a big...
Alex Kerfoot.
Kerfoot doesn't change anything. You know, if it's TJ Brody, you're not going to make that move anyway. But that's not a jolt. You know, if you let Campbell walk, I don't even think that's a jolt. And I don't know what they're going to do with goaltending, but they'll figure that out. The guys who have been here for 5 years together.
Right.
4 years together, I guess, are Tavares, Nylander, Matthews, Marner, Rielly. The last three would include Keith.
Right.
That's the pillar of your team when you're on the ice.
Right.
Taking Dubas, Shanahan ownership out of it. Coach, four stars up front, and your stud defenseman who's your number one guy.
Right.
I don't think Matthews, Marner, Rielly are going anywhere. I don't think they should go anywhere. So it leaves the other three guys. And I know that's ruthless, and it's business, and it sucks. But if you feel like we got to do something, and the reality is if you were to change any of them, obviously you're doing it because you think you need a little bit of a different feel, but you could also, you know, if you got rid of Keefe, if that's what you concluded, then you'd be looking to improve on that.
Right.
Which is obviously something you have to look into.
Yeah.
Like, if there's other coaches, like Peter DeBoer just got fired. Barry Trotz just got fired.
Right.
Keefe's been here for three cracks at it. I think he's done a good job.
Yeah.
I don't think they lost because of Sheldon Keefe. I'm not even saying it's he has to go because that's
no,
the
that's
issue.
Not, but you're
that's
talking
not
about
saying.
The what you're doing is articulating what Masai did and
looking at it exactly
jolting,
and saying what's the jolt here?
What is the
what's
jolt?
The, what will make us look and feel different and let everyone else know
we're business. We're serious.
We're it's all business
right.
And we are savages for winning here.
I'm disappointed. I didn't come up with that little synergy myself because it might have been some of your best work.
Yeah,
you thought long and hard.
I've been waiting since Saturday night.
I was just
gonna
say,
somebody put that in your ear and you stole it and you wrote it down and used it, didn't you?
Thank you to Bill Hayes.
Because you just said it before. Billy, good job, bud.
Good
thanks
job,
for coming
Billy.
On the show.
Yeah,
but that's
the voice of reason.
That comparison, that's exactly the jolt, the raps, Masai. You tied it all together. It's the best thing you've ever done on the show.
Well,
without being miserable and bitchy and crying.
No, and listen, it's not a personal attack on any
it's
of
not.
These guys. I'm not saying like Nylander had an unbelievable year, and John Tavares is the easiest guy to support. Like, he had a really good year, and he came alive. I think Keith's done a good job. It's not about, like, I don't think this guy's good at what he does.
It's about ending up in the same place.
Exactly. That's all it is. Is at some point you keep running into the wall. You say, what different path do we take to get through the wall?
But you might, again, you have to listen to everything, and everything has to be on the table. But there might be, let's just use Nylander. And again, I'm not advocating for it. But there might be the equivalent of that type of player with a different look out there. Same type of price point, but just plays different. Might get 30 goals instead of 35. Might get 65 points instead of 80. But might bring a different dynamic to your team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nylander was good, Jamie, and he had some
no
moments in the
Willing.
Playoffs. But the one thing that you have to consider about him, he's uber talented. I think if he worked his ass off every time he stepped on the ice, I think he's a top 10 player in the league. That's how good he could be. If he, like, played his ass off and the competition level was through the roof, with that skill set, he could be a top 10 player in the league.
Yeah.
But it's not there. Time and time again, he gets kicked in the ass for lack of effort. And he had those couple embarrassing moments in the playoffs. And here's the one thing you'd have to think when it comes to William Nylander. Massive talent. But let's say they got through Tampa, okay? And they got... Look at the situation the Rangers were in against the Pittsburgh Penguins. They were down 3-1, and they scratched and they clawed their way back. If they got down 3-1 to Florida, would William Nylander be a guy you think would just work his ass off and grind every shift to try to get back into a series? When you think about Nylander, would he be that guy? Like, what would he throw out there?
I don't know.
I don't know.
There's your answer right there if you say,
guys.
I don't know.
Yeah. But it's not only him. I mean, I don't know how the...
No kidding. It's not more than one. If the foundation of your house is all jacked up, you don't go and replace a tree in your backyard and think it's going to be fixed.
Right. The crazy thing is they're generally on the other side of that. They're the one that's comfortable up 3-1.
Right.
Back to the word comfort. They get up and they feel like we've done our job. And
you know what, though? It's a lazy narrative, and it's easy to come back to. But look at who the Stars were on Saturday night. And even yesterday, Shesterkin had 42 saves. Panarin scores a game-winning goal. These guys make money, right? They're star players.
Mm-hmm. Well, Panarin wasn't exactly a dominant
figure.
But he showed up when he had to.
Yeah, he scores, right?
Yep.
And a couple beautiful passes. Gaudreau and Markstrom last night. You know, Gaudreau, they end up doing it, right? McDavid, possessed the night before. Possessed. I've never seen a guy like that.
He's on a mission, that guy.
But, you know, like, that's, unfortunately... Like, it's easy for us to go, yeah, geez, I'd like more out of Alex Kerfoot. I'm not saying I would have liked to be in here and say Matthews went legend Saturday night.
Yep.
Jamie, that's what everybody can't wrap their head around.
Well,
why was it Rick Paul?
Well, Rick
it
Paul,
was Rick Paul that stole the show, and it was Rick Paul's moment.
Yeah, it was.
In fairness, trade deadline acquisitions, Max Domi.
Yeah.
Two goals and assist. Nick Paul, Rick Paul.
Rick Paul.
Two goals and slides into Braden Point's spot. Cody Ceci, unsuspecting, you know, game-winning goal in Edmonton, stay-at-home defenseman. You know, it's not just your star players, but it is, it helps, you know?
Listen, they would have taken anything from it. Anybody. Jack Campbell has a shutout.
Right.
Didn't happen either. You know what I mean? And it wasn't him, but.
Thanks to Billy Hayes for the segment.
That was really good.
It wasn't. Anyway, more to digest here. We'll continue to look back on the weekend. The only home team to lose Game 7 were also the Leafs, which is insane. Battle of Alberta coming up, though. So we've got that going for us.
Got to get Strutty back on tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't think Strutty. I can't have Strutty on. I'm not talking to Strutty.
You're not ready. You're not ready.
Me and Noodles will pre-tape.
You guys go ahead and pre-tape with Strutty.
He sent the nice tweet.
That was sarcastic.
That was backhand?
Of course it was backhanded.
I talked to him, though.
He came back afterwards with, wow, can you believe Cody Ceci and Tyson Berry or something? That must kind of hurt for the Leafs.
Could have used Zach Hyman.
Yeah, exactly. Zach Hyman.
I actually texted him and said, knock it off.
He knows exactly what he's doing. I don't know.
We'll do a pre-tape with Strutty tomorrow.
Right. Maybe I'll sneak in. All right, so, and the Jays are back in action. They're not really helping things either in the city right now. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Ray's coming up. Ray Ferraro will join us in about a half an hour. Chris Johnston still to come. Our buddy Scotty Mitch will join us from the Dome. The Jays are back home, and didn't go so well for them over the weekend. They dropped another series. Still above 500. Silver lining.
I know, but it was really above 500 2 weeks ago, and now it's not.
Yeah, now you're literally a game above 500.
Not the best.
How about Louis Domingue? Like, Tristan Jarry was in a foot cast last night in net.
And almost pulled it off. I felt bad for Sid, because you know Sid wasn't 100%.
He looked... Like, when he got hit by the net there, that was kind of a weird...
Lindgren kind of, like, put him down softly. Like,
I know.
Don't want to hurt this guy. Like, it was a weird dynamic.
I know he's a gamer, and he's one of the best of all time. I'm not... If I'm his agent, I'm his... I don't know.
Wild horses weren't keeping him out last night. You know that guy. He's, you know, and apparently, again, I don't know if it's a concussion or not. They kept saying it wasn't a concussion. It was something else. So, that's... a silver lining. I'm hoping that it's not a concussion. He tried to battle through that. That's not good for anybody.
Yeah. I want to bring up the penalty that was called on Justin Hall because I have morons in their basement that write to me and say, that's a penalty all day long. And what I said about the penalty was, okay, I'll give you the fact it was a penalty, but if it wasn't called, it's not like there was going to be outrage. Watch this play right here. Okay, here's the penalty on Hall. He steps in. Okay, Cirelli kind of absorbs the play. But there was a play on the McDonough goal where somebody got ran over in front of the net. It wasn't even close. Watch this play in front of the net. Watch this. Morgan Boom!
Yep.
You're telling me that's not worse? And nobody said boo about it. So the fact that they called it, that's fine. But if they didn't, it's not like there would have been outrage. Morgan Rielly gets crushed in front of the net. And the Leafs didn't go nuts there.
Yeah.
So for all the linesmen out there and referees that said it's a penalty all day, that's fine. But if it wasn't called, nobody would have went nuts on the Tampa end.
Yeah, I'm done with that. No, but you're right in terms of this is the overarching frustration of trying to follow the refs and get a read on where they stand. Because in a vacuum, that's a pick. That's a penalty.
Yeah, it's a pick, but it's not.
In a we've put the whistles away game, it's not.
Yeah.
Damn right. So, and like that other play, Morgan Rielly gets cross-checked, and that's a two-minute minor all day long, and it's not called. That's a part of the curse.
You're right. The only thing I disagree with, whether it's penalty or not, that was in the first period, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But it was still a pretty pivotal moment.
They still came back
game.
To tie it afterwards.
Right. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, that they didn't lose on that one call. You had an opportunity. Like, that's the thing. You can circle that penalty or not and say, I agree. It was a pick. It was a penalty. But it also could have been let go, and it wouldn't have been a big deal for me.
You know what? If it was Blackwell, it might not have been called. But when you're 6'4" and you wheel down into the front.
And he threw himself on the ground afterwards. Like, it was actually, if you look at it, he knew he ran the pick, and then he was like, oh, I better fall and throw myself down. Like,
Justin Hall,
Hall, yeah. Well, he actually is the one who fell down on the play.
Yeah, like, I think he kind of knew it was coming, and then it was
like that's,
all of a sudden.
Joe's running it again, is he not? Yeah, for people that are watching on TV. Oh, I better fall down, make sure that I sell it.
I don't know what he was trying to pick him there?
Sure,
or was he
was.
Just
he seems like a design. Those plays happen all the time. You watch enough hockey, those plays happen all the time, and they're never called.
The guy who runs the most picks on that team is TJ Brody. TJ Brody runs a pick for his defense partner. He's unbelievable at it. He's cagey. Giordano and him had that chemistry for many years in Calgary. I agree. Like, I would have let that go. But I think that's what the ref was like. Well, I'll make that call. It unfortunately ends up in the back of your net. Like, Tavares, there was a great shot, a screenplay in front of the net. But I refuse to circle that and say they lost a series because of that.
Oh, yeah.
Personally, that's well, what people are writing.
That was just
in.
Some like, house cleaning I had to tidy up because of the morons on Twitter.
Well, I'm with you in terms of, like, when you've gone how many years without a cup, how many years without a series, the idea that it's the refs, that it's the team you're playing against,
right.
It's the salary cap, it falls on deaf ears after a while. Like, at some point, it's on you to just close it. And they couldn't. You know, so we'll see what they have to say tomorrow. And it's going to be a long offseason. Like, they've got free agents like every other team in the league. They've got to figure out what they're going to do in net and then go from there. But, you know, business is already happening throughout the league. There's coaches being fired already. Peter DeBoer was let go in Vegas. And there's only 8 teams left. So there's a lot of teams already doing work. 24 teams are into their offseason.
You have
doing work.
And you got to be circling, guys. The thing is, you laid out, and you weren't being egregious about it, saying, you know, take a look at what this core looks like, including the coach. You know, if you're going to have the Masai theory, maybe something needs to be jarred. Other organizations are going to have that conversation here today or next week, too. There might be a key pivotal piece on another organization that might be available that could be an even swap or close.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's got to be on the table. You can't...
Well, and you can roll it over even to the next round in terms of disappointment.
Right.
Like, I can tell you, if Colorado loses in the next round, they are just as furious as if they lost
Absolutely.
In the first round. That's
Absolutely.
An abject failure for them.
Well,
and
it doesn't make it any better if you get to another round. Same thing they did last year.
Well, yeah, if you're a cup or bust team, the second round isn't going to be enough, so there might be something going on down there.
I was posed the question today. What do you remember about, you know, what am I hoping to hear from them tomorrow? And I said, the only thing I can remember about last year's playoffs, I don't know how you guys felt, is one comment. Nathan MacKinnon said, I've been in this league, 9 years?
Yeah,
and I haven't accomplished
one squat.
And he swore on it. Like, that's, I don't know if what Austin Matthews is going to say tomorrow. I don't know what he needs to say. But, like, that's all that rung out for me. All I could think about, because Colorado has been in this position. They feel they've got a really good team. And they felt they pissed one away last year. We'll see what they got this year. We'll see how possessed MacKinnon is and Makar and all those guys, because they've been through disappointment. That's the one comment that stuck out for me last year that you know, MacKinnon just said, I've been in this league 9 years and haven't accomplished anything.
I don't know what the players are going to say anything different than what they said after the game. I don't really need to hear from any players.
It's mandatory they talk, but it's going to be the same stuff, you know. Can't explain it, can't believe it, sick and tired of it.
Yeah.
We hope they allow us to give another crack at it. You know, like, that's what they're going to advocate for publicly. But you also wonder what they're all thinking privately. Like, that's a realistic conversation that I think has to be had within the boardrooms of MLSC. Like, what is Austin Matthews? What is Mitch Marner? What are they thinking in terms of what they believe needs to happen for this team to move in the right direction?
Right.
You know, and I don't know if they're going to give that answer to Dubas, Keith, Shanahan. Who knows how filtered it's going to be, but I guess we'll hear from them all tomorrow. Really what you want to hear from is Shanahan and Dubas tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right? Is hear from them and hear what they have to say about the future. Because last year they were bold. Like, they put their stake in the ground.
Right away.
Right away. We believe in these guys. We're running it back.
Yeah.
Are they going to be that bold tomorrow? Because I think if they leave the door open, then that's going to be very, very telling.
Well, I think they're also not stupid where they're going to say, oh, we're going to make tons of changes.
No,
they don't announce that to the world.
Of course not. But there is a difference between we're still evaluating, which means I think we're going to do something, and we believe in these guys and we're running it back, and it would be stupid for us to give up on them now.
Right.
Which is basically what they said last year. And they might do that. If they do it, I think you can take it to the bank. They're basically going to come back with the same core and they're going to try it again.
But you just laid out in the previous segment, the Masai, like, I guess, what he did, however, the mantra. Masai was like, told DeMar, you're good, don't worry about it. So they might say one thing and do the other. Because if you can't advertise to everyone, if you're Kyle, go, massive change is coming. Because now, it's like, he might just say, you know what, we're very comfortable. We're going to, because of salary cap, we're going to have to move some deck chairs around anyways.
And but, this guy's talking about your little jolt story there.
Jolt story.
Who knows, with the way the contracts are structured, how much time you got for a jolt. The time would be now.
Absolutely. Because, like, you've been in a window for like 3 years now.
Yeah. Well, and so 34 is unrestricted in 2 years. God knows what the hell happens to him. He has the free reign to go wherever the hell he wants to play hockey.
Absolutely.
Well, and, so if there's ever, there's not much more time after this summer for a jolt.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Like, they got to get things. They know what's at stake, and they know they're good enough to get back to the dance and probably get back to another game 6 or 7, and then see what's going to change. You know, but like, it's not a tear down, blow it up. This is a failure scenario. It's not even close.
No, but you need a different. I think it's a different look, a different feel.
It's just the same result every single year.
But. Isn't that what we kept saying? Is like, it does feel different. It did feel different this year. It did feel...
Jamie, it did. It did. All the good players played good, but the result was the same. It doesn't make it any less painful.
Right. Nope, it doesn't. All right, Rays coming up in about 20 minutes. Crazy NBA weekend as well. And Pat Beverly was on ESPN all day today, just destroying people. We'll play some of that audio. We'll get into it. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Conversations with a stranger. All right, Ray Ferraro coming up in about 15 minutes. Scott Mitchell live from the Dome tonight. Jay's back in action. The second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs is set. We're going to have a Battle of Alberta, first time since 91.
It's been a while.
Long time going, and both teams showed up at home for Game 7. Like, I thought Jake Oettinger was going to steal that from them.
I
was an incredible performance by him.
You know, when you get to that point, I thought it was going to be like Hawk and Paw, the stay-at-home defenseman, shoots it 10 feet wide and hits a skate and goes in.
Yeah.
Like, I kept thinking, Calgary's going to lose this game based on, and they deserve to win.
Dallas
like
had the lead twice, didn't they? 1-0.
Well, yeah, 1-0, 40 seconds into the game.
Yeah.
But
that's when you're like, oh, boy, with that guy playing the way he is in net, you're in big-time trouble. But they battled, man. They got it done.
They did.
Yeah, the kid's 23, too. Like, he's going to be, I kept thinking to myself that USA goaltending, man, oh, man.
What's his contract going to look like? He's an RFA.
Yeah, but I mean,
Jamie,
he hasn't played enough, though.
Who cares? The kid he's going to say, you're going to pay me.
Well, I think they bridge him until he's ready to be like a, you know, a 60-game starter. But all I could think about is this kid plays like Demko, like big and just really
good,
poised,
man.
And just, and it was weird watching him because I'm like, this guy's not intimidated by anything.
Right. He was. He could not. In Calgary, that place was going crazy.
Yeah.
And he was making stops. Like, the first power play they had in overtime, he made that one stop. Was it Goudreau, I think, he stopped?
In the back door?
Yeah.
No, that Chuck tried taking from the back end of five hole. Wasn't
yeah, that was one.
End.
Wasn't Hanifin on the back door
yes,
at one point?
That's who it was, Hanifin.
Yeah, it was. I mean, he was making stops that was outrageous. But that, you know, and then on the flip side, McDavid, that was his moment. Like, he needed a playoff performance, and it started Game 6 in L.A.
Yeah.
Where he went down to L.A. and said, we're not losing. Like, he scored the first goal of that game, and, you know, you look at, he scored the first goal of Game 6 in L.A., and then he closed the game Saturday night with that second goal, where that was all him. It was a one-man show.
Yeah.
And because he hasn't had opportunities in the playoffs, because they haven't gone to the Olympics, like, he needed those signature moments in the biggest moments under the brightest lights, and McDavid supplied it.
I agree. I was.
I think it'll be a great series.
I kept thinking to myself, Quick was going to steal that game. That was
unbelievable.
He was unbelievable, too.
That should have been 6-0 or 7-0. It wasn't even close.
And they were one shot away going to the third. I'm like, you have Mike Smith, he fell down behind the net at one point. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my God, this is, you know how it's going to come back. And they're
97, though, I think he said, I've had enough of this.
He looks like he's right. Like, that is going to be a challenge for Calgary.
It will be, but I think the other guy's pretty hurt.
Drysdale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like by all accounts, playing with a high ankle sprain, I don't know how you do it. Like, you got to cast it almost.
Yeah.
But you can't bend it.
He's never going to practice or warm. He won't do anything. He's just going to show up and try to play.
Play power play. I think he played 18 minutes. McDavid played like 28 minutes.
That's the thing. McDavid's going to play 24, 25 minutes a night.
Yeah.
All day.
And Sutter's going to have them taking whacks at him. Like, they're going to be all over him, like every other team.
Dude, what an emotional series that's going to be. There is going to be some hatred. I love it.
Yep, yeah. And you're guaranteed a Canadian team in the Final Four.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
Like,
yeah.
That, from that standpoint, that's positive for us.
Cheat
for
sure. Team this year?
Not jumping on it. No. Hour two up next. Ray Ferraro will join us back into the NBA playoffs. The Jays are back home tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.